Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, bringing you love in the time of coronavirus.
Truth straight up,
but it's love too.
Chuck, Mr. Love. You know, a lot to talk about today. We'll get to all of that. Want to let you know, first off, though, the show is sponsored in part by ColoradoCitizenPress.com. One-stop shopping for anything you want to know about what's going on in the state.
Really want to know.
Yeah, and the truth about it, right? And also from a conservative point of view, one of the websites I check every day, highly suggest you do too. We're hoping to get Dr. Brian Junedep on here to talk about all the goings-on from a medical point of view.
And our colleague and expert. You can get all his columns on American Thinker, Dr. Brian Junedep.
Hey there. You know, we want to just kind of jump right in. A lot going on today. We're all, you know, so, you know, earlier this week, Denver issued a stay-at-home order. Then all of the other jurisdictions along the Front Range caved in also.
Not really. No, let's tell them the truth. What they did is they knew they wouldn't cave in.
Well, yeah.
So they went to their health departments. And the governor somehow said, "Okay, you can do it," and then everybody went caving into that. And of course, the counties themselves have an opt out. I know they do have an opt out, and it's just this bizarre network of orders issued by, at least in our case here,
unelected bureaucrats.
Slimy, amoral.
But up and down the Front Range, everybody's is supposed to be in the sheltered home place, and we'll get into some of the details of that. But let me ask
it's
you.
It's not up and down the Front Range because
Arapahoe County. That's where I live, and that's the latest I heard is that they're shelter in place now.
It seems
to be the politicians don't want to make the hard call because it's going to be blowback, and it's, you know, a little bit Hickenlooper like of, I'm going to weasel out of this and let somebody else. And if it goes south, they can blame it on somebody else.
Well, and that's one of the things we heard. We've heard from some people that there were, at least here in the Denver metro area, more than one mayor. I mean, Hancock, when he held his news conference, clearly implied that other mayors were on board. Denver was just the first, that they were all going to do this. But we know of at least one mayor who says that mayor and others were totally opposed to it and were trying to tell Hancock, no, don't do this. This will destroy everything if you do this. And Hancock said, I don't care. And then again, they weaseled their way around it by going through the health departments. Let me ask you first from a medical point of view, because I've read different things. Does this shelter in place, how helpful is it in terms of containing the overall spread of the virus, or do we even know?
Bottom line, my guess is the virus is in the community pretty much everywhere, and the fact that these quarantines are going to really contain it, they may mitigate it, what they call bending the curve, flattening the curve, whatever. The idea there is that you have fewer cases at once. So instead of having a bunch of cases overwhelming the health system, you spread it out. But then you're also spreading out the economic misery. It's kind of like ripping off a Band-Aid. You either rip it off and it hurts, or you just pull it slowly and take 15 minutes to do it and it doesn't hurt as much. So that's what flattening the curve does. But I think at this point, it's so prevalent that people that are going to get exposed to it, it's pretty hard not to be exposed to it at this point. The reality is that most are not going to get sick from it. They may become infectious, they may be carriers, they may have a cold, but they're not going to get sick.
What about, let me ask you, this is one thing I've wondered too, and that is, okay, so we're all locked down, right? What is the problem with, rather than quarantining everybody, going ahead and quarantining just the at-risk people, saying, okay, everyone else can go to work, everyone else can go about their daily lives, but if you consider yourself or your doctor thinks that you're in this at-risk thing, then you can self-isolate.
Well, not only that, but what you have to do is say, no, you can't have visitors at old age homes.
Right.
You can't have visitors at hospitals. You can't have it. We'll set up, you know, virtual ones like we have here. And if you want to talk to them, we can set that up. But we are not going to allow you to come to old age homes.
I mean, is this,
that would seem to be, anyway, not exactly as stupid.
You guys are exactly right. That is a good idea. And that's how some people are playing it or suggesting that there comes a time where it's widespread enough in the community that quarantining healthy people is not really the solution. And you have to look at the big picture of what's going to cause the greatest damage, keeping this economy shut down indefinitely versus let's just move on, quarantine the high risk, the vulnerable, assisted living, nursing homes, yes, restrict visitors, et cetera, and quarantine those that are at most risk. The younger, healthier people are at a lot less risk, and by letting the virus mingle and whatnot, you're going to get herd immunity eventually, and sooner or later, there's no people that haven't been exposed, and the virus burns itself out. That's how these generally go.
Why do you think, and I want to get into your article in American Thinker, why do you think they didn't go there? Because to me, that makes the most common sense, right? That's what, when for instance, when Rev gets strep throat at his school, right? You have to keep him home for 3 days. They don't say everyone has to go home for 3 days until Rev's strep throat is over because it's out there. I mean, why do you think they didn't do that? In this case,
I think it's the unknown, the fear of the unknown. Nobody wanted it to go sideways on their watch. What if it turned out to be like the movies, Contagion, or one of these movies where the outcome is much worse, much more infectious, people dropping dead, etc. Not likely with this, but I think that was the fear. And there was
there's a second element, and I've been there, so I know it's a love of power. It's a love.
Well, that too, but it's...
You get to say everybody, that means you, I get to tell you that you don't go anywhere.
And
that
by the way, I'm still getting paid.
I'm a government worker, you know, but I'm a bureaucrat. Tri-County Health, I mean, this is the happiest day they've had. I mean, you know, they're just giggling with happiness. They're getting paid, we're not, and they can kick us around. It's just a great deal. It's happiness.
Well, and it's a herd mentality. Nobody wants to be the guy that the mayor, the governor, the whatever that didn't do this. And nobody's going to fault you if you do what everybody else does. So as soon as somebody shuts their state down, all other 49 governors are, well, he did it. Why can't I do it? I'm going to do it, too.
Think about how little it took for Colorado to be shutting down. It took 1,000 cases of coronavirus and 12 deaths. Now,
that wasn't even at the time. It was fewer than that. It was fewer.
Now, that's how many is today.
And just for perspective, 16 skiers died this year, 25 last year.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, that's why the New York guy's statement that if I could save one life is ridiculous. We just don't do this. Well, I wanted to talk to you a little bit too, because I thought you had a great column in American Thinker, and you're always there, so I encourage people to read you there, where you kind of talked about, put this in perspective in terms of some of the numbers and comparing it to other things. Can you talk about that?
Well, he particularly did a great job of saying, why are so many more people dying in Italy than Germany? I mean, are Italians just more inherently death-worthy or something? Or, you know, why are the Germans have so few deaths? And did a great job of explaining at least a large portion of that discrepancy.
Well, a big part of it is Italy's relationship with China. The Belt and Road Initiative runs right through the heart of Italy, and that's Chinese commerce in Italy. Italy makes designer clothes and handbags, names like Gucci and Prada, factories in China, workers from China assembling things in Italy. There's a large number of Chinese that are living in Italy that have immigrated there and travel there. I looked up, there are a lot of cheap flights advertised between Italy and China that people can come and go. And back in mid-January, there was a tour group. There was a couple from Wuhan, China, came to Italy and toured Verona and Rome and here and there. And they got sick and they got a fever and got hospitalized and they tested virus positive.
And they had a program. They had an anti-racist program that you were supposed to go and hug
Chinese infected person.
When they saw this, instead of closing their borders, when Trump closed our borders very wisely, ironically, you know, Joe Biden's out there today saying, oh, Trump didn't react. Well, Joe was calling it racist and xenophobic and unnecessary when Trump was doing it. But China, Italy did not. And Chuck, you're correct that the mayor of Florence had his Hug a Chinese program. Right. And he was out on social media saying, you know, go up to a Chinese person and hug them. Well, nowadays, that's the last thing. You wouldn't hug anybody.
Right. Social distancing.
Now we've got our 6-foot distancing and mask and gloves and everything else. And that was stupid. That was political correctness.
Right. You also pointed out that was important. You know, in Italy, if somebody shoots you in the face and you drop, then they test you for coronavirus and you're part of the coronavirus death toll. In Germany, kind of like if you don't appear to have died from coronavirus. They don't check it and then determine everybody who dies, who has coronavirus, died because coronavirus. Of coronavirus.
That's an important distinction. Did you die with coronavirus or did you die from coronavirus?
Right.
If you don't make that distinction, it's the numbers become meaningless.
Right.
In Italy, 99%+ of the people that died had other comorbidities. In other words, they had respiratory disease, heart failure, diabetes, kidney failure, who knows what. But they had at least one other medical problem. Even the young soccer player, he was leukemic.
Right.
People have other medical problems, and not to, you know, nobody makes light of people dying, but when people have these medical problems and die, it doesn't mean they would have died a month later, 6 months later from pneumonia, from seasonal flu, from something else.
Right.
And just because they've tested positive for the virus, it doesn't mean per se that that's what they died from.
Well,
Italy, Italy also has an old population. That's
right.
The other thing that's not mentioned. It's the oldest in Europe, second oldest in the world. They have a lot of smokers. Smoking rate is probably 50% higher than the U.S., for example. There's a lot of close contact in Italy. The two-cheek kiss is particularly social gatherings. So they're for that. Caused it to have been.
Well, you're scooching in and out a little bit, but let me ask you this too. I wanted to get your thoughts on, because in a previous column, you pointed out one of the big differences in the way the United States is handling this this pandemic is the fact that Trump is president. And so when Trump came out the other day, and first of all, he didn't say we're totally going to reopen no matter what by Easter. He was saying, I am hopeful that we can have people in church at Easter. And then he's being attacked by it.
I'm not sure we're being attacked.
He's being attacked.
Well, I'm not sure he's being attacked because they don't like Easter or they don't the country being able to open up again.
To go to church. What are your thoughts on all of that?
Well, economically, we can't stay closed much longer. The devastation, just as we speak now, reopening in a week, there's still, you're looking at 20% unemployment and GDP and negative double digits. Imagine extending that another month.
Right.
At some point, the country has to get back to work, and it's going to be a tough choice. And that's what you elect leaders to do. And if someone wants to lead the country and be president of the United States, they have to make big decisions. And that decision may be dropping an atomic bomb on Japan, killing hundreds of thousands of people to end the war and saving far more. That's a decision nobody wants to make. And a decision like this that Trump will have to make at some point is, do we get the economy going? Because if we don't, then this gets worse. You look at the consequences of that. How many people out of work, going broke, bankrupt, suicides, divorces, mental health issues, true sickness because people are become homeless. There's going to be such a cascading effect that it's going to end up being far worse than the virus.
But it's going to be like
the Great Depression all over again.
But I have to say, luckily, we have a savior, and he's down in his basement in Wilmington, Delaware, giving kind of cryptic announcements.
You know, did you see an interview? There was an interview the other day, and he's you know, can't keep his hands off his face. And I'm like, yeah, this is the guy we want in charge. When Trump does 2 hours, if he touched his face once, it would be all over CNN.
Oh, yeah,
once in 2 hours.
Well, then he's coughing in his hand, and Jake Tapper had to tell him.
10 seconds.
Tell him, no, you don't do
don't
that.
Do that.
Well, I'm here at home. It doesn't matter.
Well, that's not even getting into what he was saying, right? That was
who was he saying?
Well, it wasn't clear what he was saying.
He's like the Delphic Oracle.
He
weird pronouncements that you're not sure exactly.
He's reading fortune cookies, you know, or something.
But it's amazing stuff.
But you know what? I want to let folks know, if you're listening, the internet, according to BBS, is not totally healthy today. So we have some lagging here. But Brian, go ahead. What do you think about Joe Biden?
Can you hear me okay?
Now
we're back.
Yeah, it's in and out.
Maybe a computer virus.
There we go.
The virus of our computer.
There we go.
Yeah, I mean, Joe's not with it. Joe is, I hate to say it, he's showing signs of senility, and he's really not up for running for president. He's, you know, maybe president of the Nursing Home Association, but
even that
president of the United States.
Scary.
He's, he's just, he doesn't have the mental capacity. You watch him speak and he's, you know, you look at him, he's looking skeletal and just doesn't have the vim and vigor that one would expect for a president, much less getting through a campaign. And it's awfully convenient that this has taken him off the campaign trail. The primaries are essentially over. He's going to be anointed the nominee. Bernie can go away. No debates. No competition. They're going to keep him sequestered in his basement until the nominating convention. And then find some reason why he can't debate Trump. They're trying to drag this out. It's a great foil for him. You can't have Trump rallies.
He goes to
a Biden rally, he gets 15 people. So it's very convenient that this has become bad after Super Tuesday.
There's a famous campaign by William McKinley back in 1896 where his opponent, William James Bryan, went all over the country speaking everywhere, and he never got off his porch, called the Porch Front Campaign. We're going to have the same thing, except his going to be the cellar campaign. Yeah. He's not going to leave the cellar until after November, then hopefully emerge victorious.
And become president, which would be...
I don't think he will be the ultimate nominee. I don't know what you guys think, but I just can't see that they're going to... You know, McGovern and Mondale were bad, and look what happened to them. But they made... You know, Joe is a corpse compared to those guys.
Right. Well,
they were bad candidates.
I'm reading a lot that, Andrew Cuomo is all of a sudden going to be the surprise kind of guy. And he's, because I think this has totally exposed Joe Biden. I mean, he's in a very controlled environment and he still can't answer the questions and he gets confused. And not only that, but it's clear. And he did it three times in a row, right? It was that one day, he had three appearances. There was supposed to be a fourth town hall and they just canceled that altogether, and I'd be surprised if we see very much of him.
Well, but you have to understand that these primaries will continue on. He'll be continuing to get the delegates. The delegates will be pledged to him, where they must vote for him in the first round if he doesn't withdraw. So Joe, they may all think that Joe shouldn't be president or the nominee, but unless Joe thinks it, he's almost guaranteed to be the nominee.
Oh, he is. This is rigged in his favor. The DNC doesn't want Bernie. And he'd be a viable candidate. He at least would be, you know, have some things to say of some sense. Yeah. At least
we'd have to have Biden interpreters. What Joe really meant here when he said that for
right.
him. You know, well, doing that sign language, but it's a different, it's reinterpreting what he said.
Yeah.
I don't think Joe's viable. And Cuomo, you're correct. It's interesting, last week and weekend, anytime Cuomo spoke, Fox News would cut to him immediately, even cutting off their prime time evening host. Andrew Cuomo, boom, they go to him. But if Trump's speaking, they'll reason it out for a few minutes.
NPR has decided they're not going to carry his news conferences anymore because he's spreading misinformation. Yeah. It's like, what a joke. Let me ask you, in terms of, again, going back and putting on your medical/political hat, too.
Kind of hat is that?
It's a mask. Your mask.
Your corona mask.
There you go. Where do you see this? What do you see happening? Do you see? There we go.
All right. There we go.
Hey, you could sell that on eBay.
Speaking of masks, I think we should bring back plague masks. If you remember those.
Oh yeah.
Those masks with the long snout that they wore in the old plague days.
Yeah, we can also make, like when you were in kindergarten, where you get the paper plate, right? And you cut the eyes out and the mouth. We could, and then you put like a little string around you. You could do that. Well, where do you see this going? I mean, my hope is that this will be done one way or the other, right? I mean, the Democrats, I think, will try to keep us all in quarantine forever. But by, I don't know, June or so, what do you think?
Well, I think the restrictions have to start easing up in a week or so. I can't see it going on more than another week and a half, because that's going to destroy the economy. And that's going to be too hard to recover, too many layoffs. Once people are laid off, these businesses are going to close. They can't make payments. They can't pay the rent. And, Congress can't even get a aid package done because Pelosi needs to fund the Kennedy Center and journalist pensions and the post office and everything that's non-essential. There's still no aid package passed. That's only a stopgap. It's the debt goes up now to $24 trillion, but who's counting?
Yeah.
Well, are you, of the $2 trillion that are, which the budget is like a trillion in a year. So this is a $2 trillion package, bigger than the budget itself. How much of the money do you think you personally are going to get?
Or any?
I know how much I'm going to get. It'll be zero. Be zero. Oh,
same amount. Same amount. You know, one thing I read.
Let him answer.
He did. He said zero.
Very small.
You know, one thing I read on Facebook, the at our, my son's school, they have a parent Facebook page, and somebody was saying that, you know, if the doctors and the scientists and the politicians can't get a cure figured out here in the next couple of weeks, mothers will. Because I think anybody out there has kids, the kids have long since gone stir crazy. I know I'm not going to be able to, all I do is figure out which pair of yoga pants I want to wear today, right? I'm not going to ever be able to fit into any of my pants once this is over. There's a lot at stake here. And, you know, I want to ask you about this. Our friend Jan Cook got into a Twitter war, so to speak, with Governor Polis yesterday. Polis was tweeting, you know, our grandparents stormed the beaches of Normandy. We can go for a while without a mani-pedi. And Jan responded, as did I, it's not me going without the mani-pedi that matters. You know, Polis is still getting paid. All of the government workers are still getting paid. It's the people who provide the haircuts and the manicures and the pedicures.
Who have pensions, who have rent, who have all the other ones. I mean, the governor, right, to think of it's only as to him personally.
Not getting a haircut.
Not getting, you know, because he doesn't have a lot of hair to get cut. But it's a pedicure. They are only servants to him. Their lives are unimportant to him.
Right.
Whether he pays them or doesn't, he just kind of goes, well, I'm fine. I can go without a pedicure.
Yeah,
well, they
weeks.
Can't go without the money that comes from their services they provide.
You're exactly right. It's not us that need the service. It's the people right. that provide the service. The small business people, the restaurants, the service industry, whatever, they will be out of business. People that cut hair, personal trainers at health clubs.
Right.
You know, people that work at the golf clubs, yep. hotels, right. resorts, wherever. All the things that are closed down. You know, the companies may keep them on for 2 weeks, but if it's dragging on longer, it's sorry, I got to let you go because I can't keep paying you because I've got a rent payment, I've got insurance, utilities, and they may pull the plug on their business. And then these people are gone. Then they have no job.
We had that happen with one of the clients at the newspaper, right? They were in a weak spot anyway, and they were thinking about bankruptcy. They were having issues. They had expanded a lot. And they just said, we're just going to declare bankruptcy, right? And so what happens to all of those people? And again, Polis doesn't get it. It's like, it's not me being inconvenienced because I can't go, you know, to the mall. It's the people who work at the mall who now don't have a job and aren't getting paid.
But it is kind of similar to Marie Antoinette's let them eat cake. It's a mentality of, I don't really get what the average person goes through. You know, my mom, I was able to internet my mom's business and have tens of millions of dollars, but I don't really relate to people. The only relation to them is they provide me services and their lives are unimportant. They can eat cake. And where that cake comes from, he doesn't know.
Yeah,
just like
Marie
Antoinette didn't know where her food came from. I mean, it's...
No, for the government officials, they get their paychecks. A lot of them are independently wealthy anyways.
Right.
But their businesses go on. They go about their lives. Members of Congress, they're doing fine. They're not worried about paying rent or having food or paying insurance or anything else. It's everybody
and
else.
They made so much out of their inside trading deals.
Right.
I mean,
and
Burr
in
made 1.5 million, you know.
Yeah.
A quick 1.5 million. I mean, you know, so he's fine.
It's a disconnect between the common people and those who are hurt. And once these businesses close, they're not going to just reopen. If this thing goes away as we get a few weeks of warm weather and things die down, and conceivably by May, this has burned itself out. I don't think this is going to go on through the summer. These viruses typically burn themselves out when the weather gets warm. Viruses don't like warm weather for the most part. Nobody can predict for sure, but that's likely to happen.
You can predict pretty well by looking at Florida.
And Arizona?
Well, Florida, but Florida is a typical place where viruses would die because it's one, it's humid, unlike Arizona, and it's hot. And it has lots of at-risk people. There's going to be no shutdown order, according to the governor. Let's see if they have a relatively mild infection rate and death rate? Or do they just go, does it go wild? In which case you kind of go, well, maybe weather doesn't matter. But every day I kind of tune up Florida and see how it's doing, because that's the one.
Well, that's a good example of what to look at. But
yeah.
The economy can't stay shut down too long, and people will, you're going to have civil unrest at some point. People are right. going to defy the stay-at-home orders. You can't do this to people. They will not. And then it's martial law, and then things get really ugly, and that's a bad thing.
No, right. Hey, listen.
That's what I'm hoping, and I think Trump recognizes it. And it's yeah. at some point a decision is going to have to be made.
And I feel confident in him to make that decision.
Right.
I mean, you know, there are lots of people
far better than Obama or George Bush or Bill Clinton
or the Oracle of Delaware. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dr. Jundup, we've got other guests coming up at 3:30, so
great
we'll let you
talk
know.
To you.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you guys as well.
All right. Have a great afternoon, Dr. Brian Jundup there.
Thanks. Great seeing you.
All right. Thank you. In a few seconds, we're going to have Karen Catiline come up. Want to let folks know, too, you can call in 888-627-6008. I think he hits a good point, Chuck, that people, and I don't think this has anything to do with politics. You know, I just know.
Everything has to do with
politics. No. But I mean, the people, just people who are not particularly politically oriented, right? Mm-hmm. Or astute, are saying, we can't stay home. I can't lose my business. It's like, I think that the corporate, what did Trump call it? The lamestream media, you know, is going to try to play everything up and make it
every
Trump's
time
fault,
you but. Think about that, think about Ukraine in 1933.
And which is exactly what I was going to say.
They said, well, look, we have all the Ukraine's doing great. All these kulaks and other people, grain harvests have been well and so forth. But it's not really according to, you know, communist dictates. We have to have them co-ops. We have to have joint ownership. We've got to, and so they imposed that, and they killed about 10 million people in the starvation that followed. People, they were all starving, and Stalin and everybody else went, so what? New York Times said it was all a fantasy. In fact, they got a Pulitzer Prize. The reporter who said it was all a fantasy has got a Pulitzer Prize, just like some of these guys who are doing
right,
that.
Right, right. Well,
so when
for
you say
the Russia hoax,
it just can't go on. Oh, well, it can.
It can. It can. You know, I know we've talked to, I was talking to our former colleague, Matt Dunn at 710 KNUS Radio, and he said he was worried about civil unrest. He said, you know, they're deploying the National Guard to help. So, you know, I mean, to help.
To shoot.
Yeah, but that could
shoot on sight if you're here.
One of the other things, too, is, and let's go back to before we bring Karen Catiline on. I think it's really important. You know, Patrick Neville, once again, our hero. And the folks at Colorado Citizen Press are raising the questions and pointing out, like you said, that the counties don't have to accept this bureaucratic health department dictate, right? They can say, no, we don't want to do this. And
they have a quote unquote opt out.
And the thing is, and Rob Nadelson had a great column, I think, in Complete Colorado, where he said, hey, this is unconstitutional. Number one, it's unconstitutional. Number two, it's unconstitutionally vague, right? I mean, it's like, what's an essential service? And I know we have friends.
He was saying you have the right to restrict travel. That's a fundamental right. You have to have a compelling governmental interest, and you probably do the coronavirus, but it has to be the least intrusive. Is this the least intrusive
way? The least intrusive would be to quarantine
doing it. Yeah.
At-risk people.
You know, it's almost asinine. But and if you get down to the second level, which is can a governor delegate his authority down to some other body, there's real questions of that on the Colorado Constitution. And can he delegate it down to help officials in one? And what is their power really over the county? And they thought about that one and said, well, we'll give them an opt-out that none of them will dare to take.
Right, because
but also as home rule questions. And unlike the one mayor who said, that's it, they delegated it to those people, and therefore that's the law. You know, it's never just the law. It's interpretation of the law. And it seems to me to be violating this Colorado Constitution, violating the federal Constitution. Of course, who decides that? You know, bureaucratic judges. They're just bureaucrats.
I think, and other things too, though, it's vague. I saw a tweet from a friend of mine who works in downtown Denver in the media business, right? And said, so it seems to me, as I go to work in my essential job, everyone must have essential jobs, because he said everybody is out and about today. Yeah. But it raises another question too, which is unfair to businesses, because we've had people, you're a lawyer, right, talk to you and say, okay, look, am I covered by this? Am I exempt from this? And you're like, don't know. Right? There's no guidance. And so,
well, there's guidance.
Limited guidance.
Well, okay. Well, it said, let's say, healthcare operations and essential infrastructure. Okay. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Plant cultivation,
Well, and as Nadelson pointed out, so if a liquor store...
Licensed gun and ammunition retailers, okay.
Okay, so but if a liquor store and a dispensary are essential services, why right. not a cigar bar, right?
Right.
Why not,
right.
I don't know, any other number of things too. It's, you know, so it's, and it puts, I think, business people in a bad spot. You shouldn't have to hire a lawyer on top, because if you decide,
I can tell you, the lawyer can't tell you.
Right, exactly.
Because it's too vague
right.
for the lawyer to tell you, oh, you're exempt. He can come up with an argument why you may or may not be exempt.
But yeah, who
knows? But you, just because you go to a lawyer and he says, I don't know.
You should go to
me.
A journalist.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing too, though, I want to commend, as I started to say, Patrick Neville and some of those senators and representatives, conservative grassroots people in Douglas County, sending a letter to the Douglas County Commissioner saying, we know that all of you do not like this. Stand up and speak out. And I would like to, just for what it's worth, to encourage not only people, but the politicians to stand up and speak out and say, wait a minute, Tri-County Health Department, you don't have that kind of authority over us. You have to take a lot of things. You just have to take the health issues into account. And we get that. But there are a lot of us who have other things to take into account. Before we go to Karen, we've got Charlene on line two. So let's bring Charlene in. Hey, Charlene.
Oh, hi there. Well, I was just going to say, can you hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Okay, good. That if someone wanted to think of a plan to put small business owners out of business, they couldn't have thought of a better plan. Because
right.
what Lindsey Graham is fighting right now in Congress is Pelosi's trying to, and Bernie Sanders is trying to get through a bill that will guarantee unemployed workers up to $24 an hour, which is sometimes $8 more than what they normally make. So
exactly.
they're going to take the unemployment rather than a safe work for their small businesses.
Oh,
so
sure.
You're going to have small businesses without employees because they're going to be taking workers.
Well, exactly.
How many, you know, who are the lobbyists that represent small businesses
yeah.
at Congress?
None.
And the person who'll say they do is the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, who gets none of their money from small businesses and does nothing
okay.
for small businesses.
Right.
Nothing.
Uh-huh.
They operate on only who pays them the lobbying fee. So there's nobody there for small businesses. It just doesn't
right.
exist. And therefore, they'll get crushed. They're $2 trillion.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like they're not going to have any employees working for them, and
no.
they're not going to be getting this big handout from the government. The small business
no.
people aren't, because they're making more than $50,000 a year. You know, their net income hopefully
right.
is more than $50,000
right.
a year.
You
so
know, and the other-
they're going to be stuck. It's almost like Bernie is pushing through his, you know, all of the socialist measures now. And
right.
and thank goodness that Lindsey Graham's pushing back, and some
right.
of the Republicans are, but Trump is going to look bad if he doesn't sign this bill that gets through. So,
it'll be
as usual, billions upon billions to fat cats, small amount of money to poor people, or at least
that everybody will do it.
And the whole middle class and small business is just going to get us. We'll just get the shaft.
Right. Well, the small businesses, I mean, they don't have a hope if they can't change this bill coming through, because people are going to be taking the unemployment compensation as opposed to going into work. They're going to get paid more
exactly.
to take unemployment compensation than to go to work.
Well,
so,
and you know, we talked about this the other day, because we've discovered that this emergency COVID-19 relief fund that Pola set up, right? People are supposed to donate to it. Number one, you can't even apply for aid. All they're doing is taking donations, and none of it, zero, is going to actual businesses. It's all going to go to community-based organizations. Read that.
Nonprofits.
Democrat nonprofits.
Yeah, nonprofits that are engaged in the community. What a fraud.
Like Planned Parenthood that feed into Polis' campaign contributions.
Yes.
I know. It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, I'm just hoping Trump will stay strong and take the beating that he gets when he doesn't sign this bill, hopefully.
Well, he will.
So,
yeah, right.
Anyway, that's all
Charlene,
I have to say.
Charlene, great to talk to you.
Yeah, great to hear from you. Thank you, Charlene.
Yes, well, I'm in Arkansas now, so.
You're lucky.
All right.
You're lucky.
Well, what are they doing in Arkansas?
Well, they haven't issued any executive orders, you know, to stay at home. They're just suggesting that people you know, minimize contact and, and, you know, it's a suggestion. It's not anything that POLIS is doing. So we have a Republican governor.
Are they prohibiting close contact with pigs?
No, swine flu. We're not going to come down there to Arkansas. Hey, Charlene, thank you for calling.
Oh, the New Yorkers are leaving New York and going to Florida. And
smart move. Smart move.
They're going to close the state borders.
Disease down here.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, Charlene. Let's go to our great friend and colleague, Karen Kadling.
Now, that was a perfect segue to what Karen wanted to talk about, too. Karen Kadling, our colleague at BBS Radio, she has a Friday show called Spouting Off. We're waiting for her to get here on video.
I'm unmuting my video.
All right. There you go.
Let's see if I can do that.
You just click on the little microphone.
Video settings.
All right.
Should be. There we are.
Okay.
You see me?
Not yet.
Well, they can hear you.
We can hear you.
Okay. Boy, was I chomping.
There you are. You've come. You've arrived.
Boy, you know, I have a lot of stuff to report to you. And I just hit the tipping point this morning. As you know, I've been doing a lot of radio. I did Randy Corcoran's show in which I was talking about, you know, keeping a level head, always keeping open to new information. This morning, it just hit me. Let's look at the facts. Let's look at the stats. I'm not generally a person who likes to look at stats, but sometimes the stats do tell you the story. Right. And I'm going to try, because you know I have so much opinion, to just report to you, you know, and you decide what all this means.
Okay.
This is very important stuff, in my opinion. It's a game changer.
Okay.
So currently, and I what I did was combine a couple of different reports together. They are as up to date as I can get. There have been 18 states that have ordered complete shutdowns. We're talking of the kind that are going on in Denver, right?
Statewide. Okay.
Stay at home, statewide. Okay, and I can give you that. Of those 18 states, they shut the entire state down. No, not only no restaurants and bars, stay at home, stay in your house.
Wow.
15 of those states are governed by Democrat governors.
You're kidding me.
No.
What are the other three?
It gets better. Two governors are Republican. One was elected as a governor, as a Democrat, but switched to Republican.
Oh,
15 out of 18 shut their states down, did to their states what Mayor Hancock did to Denver and what is about to happen to Arapaho et al. Okay?
Okay.
Now, I had a theory that I wanted to test out. I wonder whether these states in which there are counties and mayors shutting things down have Democrat governors, I mean, Republican governors who refused to shut the state down. All right? I wonder. So the partial shutdowns, I have it here.
Okay.
Partial shutdowns have been 11 states where at least one county or city has been shut down, like in Denver.
Okay.
Right? 9 of them have Republican governors. 2 of them have Democrat governors.
Okay.
So they couldn't shut down the whole state because they had a Republican governor.
Right.
Now, before, lest you say, well, those are big states that have big population, right? And so many people are dying that, of course, in New York and California, where now they are threatening to turn off your oil and gas and your utilities in California and water if you do not comply.
Unless, let me put this in, because I look at People Magazine, unless you're a Hollywood celebrity, you see them all over the place with like Starbucks cartons. I'm like, why? Celebrities, if you're, you know, a celebrity, you seem to be exempt from all of these orders that the rest of us have to follow.
That's only
through. I'm just saying.
That's only fair.
So let's look at the actual death rates. Remember, we were admonished not to talk about death rates because, we're going to warn you that this could blow out of control, right?
Right.
So we're going to destroy a country and the Western world in the fear that something horrible might happen. Let me tell you what happened in 1819. We've heard these stats, but not completely. In the 2018, pardon me?
1918, I think you
mean. In 2000, forget that, 2018 to 19,
okay,
a year ago, the influenza, according to the CDC, which I'm told is just for America, right? The CDC doesn't do world numbers. 35.5 million people got sick with influenza. 16.5 million people went to healthcare providers, and 34,200 deaths from influenza last year. In West Virginia, right now, the whole state is shut down because they have a Democrat governor, right?
Right.
They've had 39 cases of coronavirus and zero deaths.
Right.
39 cases.
Here's what I think is going on, Karen. Let me interrupt your statistics for a second.
But I'm pretty sure the governor of West Virginia is a Republican. I'll check.
Oh. He's a Democrat.
No, he's not. It's a guy who owns a big
Jim Justice, elected as a Democrat, but
he's a Republican. But he switched.
Yeah, that's what she's saying. He's a Democrat in
zero deaths. Right. Oh, but we're not supposed to look at actual morbidity. Meanwhile, Prince Charles has coronavirus, and they already know it's a mild case.
Right. Right.
How did they know it was a mild case?
Well, he's a royal.
All right? So I'm going to say, Julie, because, you know, if you start putting these things together, it's time to start asking some hard questions here. And I could go on for an hour what I think it means, but I think it's important for your listeners to start asking questions about how it is. And I've got the numbers. I've got the numbers here. Again,
well, here's
a little
thing,
like George.
When you do this, because I'm going to tell you what I think, and here's the thing. So we're going to be called, we already have been called Nazis. The progressive lamestream media, as Trump calls it, they are hammering down on this. The Democrat governors are shutting things down because, you know what? Trump's approval rating was going up. People liked the way he was handling it. It seemed to be measured. He was reassuring people, hey, look, you know, hopefully we can have everything back up. Everything will be back open by Easter. And they're like, we can't let that happen. We need to do more to crash the economy. And so they do. And, you know, we just got too many weak-kneed politicians who say, you know, one city closes it down, so all the others have to. Like I said, we know that there are mayors in the Front Range, in the Denver metropolitan area, I should say, who are telling Hancock, don't do this. You will kill us.
Yes, but the narrative doesn't fit the facts on the ground.
You're absolutely right.
No, they don't want
us to talk about it. The states, Julie, that have had a few deaths, and of course, on this statistic, there is a column that says recovered, and it's 00000 because they don't want to report that people actually recover from this, but they do. All right. So you were asking about Florida, Chuck. Mm-hmm. Is 22 deaths out of 1,682 reported cases.
Right.
The entire, remember I said 35.5 million people died of influenza. Currently, in the entire country, we have 54,000 people that are confirmed. Could be in, I guess in the whole country, 824 deceased.
Well, Karen, but don't you know that could get way worse, Karen? 150 bazillion people are going to die by the time this is over, and that's what we're going to prevent. I mean, you're absolutely right. People need to ask questions. Politicians need to stand up. I think Trump... And thank God that he's not caving in, right? When you have stupid people say, if we could prevent one death, you know, I found something out. Do you know, on average, 2 people a year die as a result of a vending machine incident, right?
Also, think about this, Julie.
If we could save one of those deaths, we should...
The people that have been lecturing us in one voice, with one... They're speaking all en masse. They got on this bandwagon immediately,
right?
Those are the people... that couldn't get worked up about Kate Steinle. They couldn't get worked up about MS-13.
Only some deaths count, Karen.
Innocent people. And they couldn't get worked up about abortion at all, ever.
Ooh.
So for people to roll over because they're being demagogued with fear here.
Right.
And because they're being bullied into shutting up. Let me ask you, Where have we seen these tactics of shutting up, or you better not say anything, or you're a racist, a sexist, a homophobe? They've been practicing this for a long time. People are getting bullied. Now, there's one other statistic I just want to throw in here, and that is there's a whole bunch of states that did not shut down, have not shut down, and are probably not going to shut down. Their statistics are no greater and often no less than the people who are shutting down.
Right.
Okay, I'm willing to look if maybe it makes a difference, but the truth of the matter is there have been deaths in other places and they didn't shut down, and they are no more than the people who are shutting down.
Well, and the other thing is, as you said, we go through this every year with the flu, right? Thousands and thousands of people get sick, right?
But we don't.
But we don't shut down the economy.
We don't. Exactly.
We don't do this. And
you know why? Because we're used to it. If you come up with a foreign, scary virus that you can scare people like
that, people, snakes, maybe. Maybe snakes.
Folks can say the Grim Reaper is going to come knock on your door if you don't do what the government tells you to do.
Well, and what else did he say? And, he said, you know, we won't have an economy if we're all dead. It's like Polis, not even the most horrific out of control statistics suggest that we're all going to die, right?
Look, here's the thing that I've seen again and again, and it's as if people look at this in a vacuum and they forget who it is we're dealing with. The 15 governors who've shut down states and who are drunk with power, David Horowitz has often said, inside every progressive is a totalitarian screaming to get out.
Yes, that's a beautiful
point. If you look at what they are trying to perpetrate on this country under the guise of a disease that's scary, then you look at a utopian socialist dream. This is what they want. This is what they've always wanted. And they've been practicing it because here's why I'm not surprised. And I know you want to talk and it's like, oh my God, I have so much to say. And I have to say, every hoax, and again, the disease may not be a hoax, but what they're doing with it is.
Right.
And
right.
every hoax that we've seen where there was a political agenda, which was, let's see, Ferguson.
Right. Yeah, that don't shoot.
Mueller,
didn't happen. I mean,
Mueller, right. Zimmerman.
Right.
Ukraine. Every single one of them had serious flaws that the Democrats intentionally ignored in favor of their narrative. And they're doing it again. And and remember that whenever there's good news that Trump reports,
like
about
the stock
drugs,
market going up,
they
stock market,
hate
you don't
it.
See that?
It's terrible. We don't want to hear good news.
No.
So you have to ask yourself. You don't have to wear a black helicopter hat to ask yourself, cui bono? Who benefits?
Well,
who benefits
it's
from
like
it?
John Caldera had a funny column today. Well, funny but good, where he said, you know, when work is outlawed, right? Only outlaws will work. I mean, he said, what kind of socialist place are we in right now where work is now illegal?
Yeah,
you're
a criminal
right now.
If you go to work and work, you're a criminal.
No, and Karen,
it's
you're
Marxist
right.
nirvana. This is what they always wanted because Trump's success, Trump's booming stock market and people having jobs was the antithesis of what they have wanted for America for a very long time.
But this is like the Mueller one in another aspect. I mean, Mueller is supposed to kill Trump, take him out of office. The coronavirus was supposed to take him out. He got his first 50% approval rating other than Rasmussen on the Harris poll.
It makes him sympathetic.
That's why they're making a shelter in place. Here, I want to read a couple of texts, guys. So Tim Neville texts, in violation of shelter in place order by statute, up to a $5,000 fine per occurrence.
Per occurrence,
and a maximum of 18 months in prison. No wonder he says they made prison room. So here's the thing. They're letting the prisoners, the inmates, the people who've committed crimes, the criminals,
they're letting them out of jail.
Well, they're going to make room for us.
But if we're
gonna make room
to
for
work,
us going in there.
That's what they wanted all along, Chuck. And the only thing that I keep coming up with, the word that I come up with is I'm gobsmacked that I've lived long enough to see this happen in the United States of America.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to happen at some point, but what we are watching is an anathema to everything America stands for. We have never shut down a government over polio. My God, you would think after the numbers I wrote you, read you here, you would think we had bubonic plague.
Right, people dropping
dead. We do not have bubonic plague.
This is what happened is they tried to get rid of Trump with the Mueller stuff. They tried to get rid of Trump with impeachment. It wasn't working. In fact, his approval ratings were going up. Their own candidates were a disaster, right? And so, again, I agree with you. The virus itself is not a hoax. It's real. But what they're doing with it is a hoax, and what they're trying to do is the same thing they always do. And thank God for politicians like Patrick Neville and Chris Hulbert and those guys, and Kim Ransom, who wrote the letter to Douglas County saying, "Stand up for Pete's sakes! Don't take some health department bureaucrat, right, who's never, you know, who we don't even know who they are."
If you're in Douglas County, it doesn't do you any good in Adams County. They're all Democrats. Doesn't do you any good in Jeffco because they're all but one of them is a Democrat. But in Douglas County, they're all Republicans.
Well,
so show the people.
Well,
you know,
when Gandhi got so much nonviolent resistance, I encourage everybody to watch the film Gandhi. Because as you remember, he said 300 million Indians cannot be controlled by 100,000 British if those Indians refuse to cooperate.
Right. And you might as well watch Gandhi, because I can tell you the other thing I've learned, besides how much I can live in yoga pants constantly, is that no matter, there are thousands of movies out there, right? We got Netflix, we got Comcast. Every day we sit there and go, that's bad, that one sucks, that's bad. I mean, there are no movies out there. So you maybe go ahead and watch Gandhi and we can all take a lesson from
it. It's a good movie.
Yeah. The film Gandhi is a masterclass in nonviolent resistance. I've talked about it on my show.
And I think here's the other thing too. I think that one of the reasons they've ramped up, and I do believe this, and we got Michael Tao, we're going to have him on next week. He's been doing some incredible work and he's turned us on to this other guy talking. I mean, you think conspiracy, right? But then you think, well, who would have thought the Russia hoax, right? Who would have thought people destroying General Flynn?
Well, who was doing business with China?
Right,
China.
Exactly.
And Bloomberg.
Right.
I don't know. But I think it's fair to ask those questions, don't you?
Oh, well, it needs to be asked. And I think, again...
But now...
Wait, let me finish.
No. Now, in lieu of movies in the morning, I'm just going, when's Joe Biden coming on? When is he going to have his conference? It's very hard to find out. But, man, that's great watching.
That is.
That is entertainment.
I think, again, it just goes back to, I think that the Trump numbers are up. So what happens? Boom. All of these Democrat mayors and or governors start issuing these stay-in-place rules, right?
Yeah, but I don't think it's because his numbers are going up. I'm going to make a humble prediction here, and I've been watching a whole lot of things. I don't know. I just watch like everybody else. But my humble prediction is I've watched again and again and again as Donald Trump has hoisted them by their own petard. And I'm going to see it again. I think there are things that might just curl our hair. My hair will be curlier than it is now.
I could use that because he can't be a hairdresser anymore. Right.
Yeah. You're going to find out what color people's hair really is. Right.
I know.
I think this was a go for broke moment for the left.
Yes.
I don't know who's talking to whom, but how often do you see the left march in lockstep? Do you think little mayors in Republican states decided on their own that they're going to shut down their city? I'm sorry. We've watched them again and again march in lockstep, and something doesn't smell right. And we need to find out what it is.
And you know, and you can tell this too, Karen, like you said, by the amount of pressure they put on shows like this, on shows like yours, for people to shut up, right? You're going to see, I guarantee
you. How dare you?
Yeah, well, and worse than how dare you.
That's totalitarianism at its very heart. I was so suspicious.
That's what's great about Colorado polls. I mean, we're Nazis for raising these questions.
Right.
And that's not by right. Great.
As soon as I saw how angry they got because people didn't want to roll over and die, close their business, go bankrupt on somebody's word that has already lied and lied and lied and lied to them in the past, people said, wait a minute, you mean I'm supposed to just take your word for this, destroy the economy, lose one-third of the GDP on your word?
Well, and I just want to, I think you maybe saw that little Twitter war between Polis and Jan Cook. And again, my point is, people like Jared Polis are like, well, you should be able to go without your mani-pedi. It's like, that's not the point. That
was a perfect statement.
Right.
I mean, that ought to be shoved down his throat for the rest of his life. I mean,
it's the person who provides that who now doesn't, you know, and I have my daughter with me. She's got friends in the video production industry, right, who live in Manhattan, who are already making plans to move. They're like, you know what, when companies do come back, there's so many jobs that are going to be affected. And yes, maybe a restaurant can reopen, right? But there are so many businesses that are going to be effective. And I guess I just think we all need to stand up and support people like the Republican legislators at our own state capitol who are pushing back. We need to support Trump and say, by God, unless this gets way worse than any of us have seen.
Just remember, the people that have been lying to you, don't believe them if they say the sun is coming up in the morning.
Yeah.
You don't pick and choose and say, oh yeah, this virus is more deadly than the flu, when the numbers don't say that at all.
Exactly.
And then say, well, I'm going to concede this. It's time to stop conceding anything and make them prove it.
Well, all right. Revolution.
We got too much. And now Mathai is texting that he loves this. Karen, real quick. When is your show? Where can people get you?
Come here, Montana.
Oh, we're going to show Montana.
Friday
at
noon. It's live at noon. It gets syndicated on Saturday and Sunday. And this week, I'm not very busy. So that's why this is Montana.
Oh, Montana. Oh, hey, Montana.
Hi, Montana. Karen, thank you for the time. We'll be
take care, Karen.
Friday.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Right,
I also want to say thank you to Dr. Brian Judep. Yeah. We're going to have Patrick Neville on Friday.
Right.
We'll talk to the folks there.
And be sure to check into Colorado Citizen Press. Really, it's the only place you're going to get a lot of the news. You know, what's happening in Douglas County, everything else where the resistance is happening. So
exactly. And then the other, here, let me pull us up first so I can see us. Mm-hmm. Okay. The other thing I want to say, Polis is having a news conference here in a matter of minutes.
Yeah, a couple
the
minutes.
President is too. So we'll have lots to talk about on that.
Always.
Thank you to everybody for listening. Would also like you to say, go to chuckandjulie.com. You can catch the podcast. You can listen live.
And please hit that like button, subscribe button, because that means we can do a lot more. Doesn't cost any money. Get no emails, but according to YouTube's rules, if we get up to a certain number, then we have ability to give our message out far more.
And your message too. So thank you for listening. Thank you once again to the great folks at PBS Radio. We'll see you next time.